Isn't it good to be here? Amen. We'll be in church tonight. Acts chapter number 27 tonight. And we'll begin reading in verse number 1. Very familiar text of scripture tonight. And the Lord began to deal in my heart and show me a few things this past week while I was gone out of this text. And I ain't sure how to go other than how the Lord wants it to go. But I want to try to help us tonight as a church. I kind of argued a little bit with the Lord. You ever done that? I thought, Lord, when I come back home, I'm supposed to preach something that's going to make everybody want to love me, like me, shake my hand, and give me $20 before they leave. But if you're interested in pleasing the Lord and lasting for the Lord, I got anybody that wants to last in this? Boy, we got a lot of people in these days that are quitting, giving up, getting tired, getting weary, conforming to the world, conforming to other religious formalities, like the Bible said they would in the end days. They would heap themselves teachers, having itching ears, so on and so forth. And we're living there. A good church and a good Christian, really, I believe, are two rare things in the last days. According to the Bible, they would be. The Bible said this about men, that they would wax worse and worse. And I don't want to be on that side of the spectrum either. And so I want to preach tonight out of this text a thought that I really believe would help us if we'll let it. Let's look in verse number 1. Acts chapter 27, verse number 1. If you're there, say amen. Amen. The Bible said, and it was determined that we should sail into Italy. They delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, the centurion of Augustus' band. And entering into a ship of Adramidium, we launched, meaning to sail by the coast of Asia, and Aristarchus of Macedonia and Thessalonica being with us. And the next day we touched at Sidon, and Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go unto his friends to refresh himself. And when we had launched from thence, we sailed under Cyprus, because the winds were contrary. When we had sailed over the sea of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, a city of Lycia. And there the centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing into Italy, and he put us therein. When we had sailed slowly many days and scarce were come over against Sidus, the wind not suffering us, we sailed under Crete and over against Salmone. And hardly passing it, came unto a place which is called the Fair Havens, whereunto was the city of Lycia. Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them. Notice what he says in verse number 10. And Paul says this, he said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Let's read verse 10 one more time. And he said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading of the ship, but also of our lives. If I could tonight, I want to look at this text in a way that I've never preached it. Maybe you've heard somebody else preach from this the way I'm going to tonight, but I've never preached like this. But if the Lord will help us for a little while tonight, I want to preach on this thought out of Acts chapter number 27. I'd like to preach on how to hurt your church. And it's not something that I'm going to preach that we should do, but how you will do it if you're not careful. And in verse number 10 again, Paul said, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage. So if you would pray for me tonight as I preach on this thought, how to hurt your church. Father, we love you. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight. Lord, we thank you for the privilege that it is to stand and, Lord, to open the Word of God one more time. Now, Lord, I know where I stand. I know what I am. God, I cannot preach without your help, without your touch. And so, God, if you would, Lord, I pray tonight you'd get on me and, Lord, you'd use me. Lord, for your glory and for God, the good of your people. Lord, I pray that something would be said here tonight that would not just challenge us for a few moments or a service or a day or two. But God, we would walk away and think about this for the rest of our lives, as Lord, we are supposed to live for you as Christians. And God, we're supposed to bring nothing but edification and exhorting, and Lord, lift one another up, and God, be a blessing to the church. And Lord, I pray as a part of the church that I would be that tonight. Please help me, God, to help your sheep. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. And all the Lord's people said, amen, amen. You can be seated tonight. How to hurt your church. If I could tonight, by way of introduction, I want to remind us in this story. And I want us to look at this story tonight in a little different light. Maybe a little different aspect or a little different point of view than we ever had before. But I want to preach tonight and look at this ship and look at these men and look at this preacher as a type and a picture of the New Testament local church. Can I say this? Paul, being the preacher, has done everything he can do to keep these men from bringing hurt to both the ship and to their lives. Can I get a little help tonight when we look at this ship as a type of the church? But these men had decisions to make as individuals. Does everybody follow what I'm trying to say tonight? My friend Paul has warned them. Paul has essentially preached to them, if we do this, if y'all go that way, that hurt is coming. The end result of not listening to what I am telling you is going to bring hurt, not just to the ship, but notice this, to your lives. Now what I'm going to preach tonight will bring hurt to the church. If you do these things, if you follow suit as these men do in our text, you will hurt your church. But then I want you to understand something tonight. You're going to bring hurt to yourself. You're going to self-inflict harm and self-inflict hurt in your life. You say, preacher, what happened? Well, we know the end of the story. The thing busted apart. It blew all to pieces. And the Bible let us know that their lives were saved. Does anybody ring a bell with anybody tonight? You can blow something up, but if you're saved, you're still going to be saved, but you can do a lot of hurt, create a lot of problems along the way, and be saved and on your way to heaven. May I say tonight, that's exactly what happened. Why, preacher? Because they would not listen to Paul. Paul, just like nowadays, got a word from the Lord. What did Paul do? He told them, sirs, God's done told me that we ought not go this way. We ought not sail. It's going to bring hurt to our lives. But nonetheless, they go on as most people do. They did what they wanted. They acted how they wanted. They steered their vessel in the direction they wanted, regardless of what the preacher said. Can I say tonight, there are some things that you are going to have to listen to the preacher on. Can I get an amen tonight? I mean, did you know God didn't give you a preacher for no reason? And it ain't just me, but any man that stands here, you ought to listen. If he's preaching the word of God, you ought to listen to what he's got to say. People treat church and treat preaching like it's just something to do. It's a hobby. It's a you know, take what you want and leave the rest type buffet. But I'm here to tell you something. There's some things you want to listen to that you don't necessarily like, but it's said to you to keep you from hurting yourself, those you love, and the church. Can I say tonight, if the church is operating as it should according to Scripture, we'll be exactly what, like Paul was in this text. Christ is the head of the church, and he'll speak to the preacher, the pastor, and tell him what the church needs to do, what the church needs to hear according to the Word of God. I preach my opinion. You can take that, roll your cigarettes with it, and burn it. It makes me no difference what you do with my opinion. But listen to me, when I stand and I do my dead level best to preach this book, you'd better listen to what the Word of God has to say. Why? The end result is hurt to yourself and hurt to the church. Can I say tonight, That's exactly what takes place in this text. Lord tells Paul, the preacher, to give him a message, to give him a warning that the ship and their lives were in harm's way. And they needed to listen to what he had to say, but they refused to listen. And the end result is one word tonight: hurt. They brought forth hurt. Can I say this tonight? We all know the end of the story. They were all who were aboard this ship, they were saved. In the end of the thing, the Bible said they floated in on boards and they floated in on planks. But notice this, the ship, which is tonight a type of the church, the ship was busted up. The ship was broken apart and the ship was utterly destroyed. I want to ask you something. I need a little help tonight. Is your will bigger and better and brighter than God's will for your life? I mean, do you sit on the throne of your life, or does God? I know there's a lot of people that claim that God sits on the throne of their heart, but my friend, their lives say otherwise. Can I get some help tonight? My friend, I'm not here to be a boss. I'm not here to be in charge of your life. I'm not here to meddle in your business, but you better know something. I am here to throw warnings, and I am here, my friend, to establish biblical truth and doctrine, and I am here to try to rescue the perishing and care for the dying. It is my goal and my determination to stand and preach the blessed word of God and watch your children grow up and get saved, and watch them have children that grow up and get born again. It is my desire, it is my heart's desire to see the children of God grow in the fear and admonition of the Lord and mature from the milk, the sincere milk, to the meat of the word. That's why God puts a pastor in the church, and I for one do not ever want to do anything that can bring hurt to this place, that can potentially bust this place apart, break it all to pieces, and utterly destroy it. You know what? I know it won't take but a handful to rear up in rebellion and mess a church up. It don't take but one or two friends to do what they want and do as they please and start something or stop something. And my friend, they'll be saved. Their lives shall be spared according to the word of God. But they'll hurt those around them. Can I say tonight, I don't know about y'all, but I don't want to float into the harbor of heaven on a busted up plank and a splintered board. My friend, I want to go in with the members of this church. I don't want to float in on a piece of something. I want to go in the boat, friend. I mean, I want to cross over and hear my Lord say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I want God to bring our church up at the judgment seat and say, "Stillwater Baptist Church, well done, thou good and faithful servant." May I say tonight, we're living in an hour where church and the success of a church is measured by everything other than Scripture. Did you know that a successful church does not have to run a certain number? Did you know a successful church does not have to have all the materialistic things that we all want and desire? And I'm not against any of it, but that does not make us a successful church. But my friend, the fact that we come in every single week and the glory of God shows up, my friend, and the word of God is declared, and sinners are drawn to conviction, and saints are drawn through the word of God, my friend, and the Spirit of God dwells in this place, I'd say God gives us an A plus for coming together in the last Laodicean hours and doing what we can to bring honor and glory to his name tonight. I want to have a church, but I just don't want to have a church. I want to prevent myself from ever hurting the church. And I hope that's what you would like to do as well. I mean, who wants to hurt? By the way, everybody looks at this as just, well, it's just something we've done. No, God done this. And by the way, I know we give our tithes and offering. Did you know we ain't paid a red dime on this church? God purchased this church in his own blood.
Oh, we pay and keep the lights on. But let me tell you something. I really firmly believe this. I believe we've got to do our part as people and as Christians and be faithful. I believe all that. But you better know something. God don't need me and God don't need you to have a church. He's been in charge of this thing up from 2,000 years ago when he died and shed his crimson blood on the cross of Calvary. I'm telling you, we all do everything we can to help the church tonight. Amen. I don't want to hurt the church. I don't want you to hurt the church.
Yeah.
You know, I've had to deal with things in this church because people have brought hurt to the church. Hey, some people got hurt this week when I was gone. And it was over stupid things that could have been prevented. I just don't understand why so-and-so would do that. See, what you don't understand, sir, and what you don't understand, ma'am, is there's more people looking at you than one or two. There's a church.
Yeah.
I don't know where we're at, and I don't know how some of y'all are feeling. There's a church that you'll hurt if you're not careful. I don't want that on me. I don't want to hurt your family. I don't want to hurt the church. I don't want to hurt the Lord. Can I get a witness? If you're not careful, you'll do what these men done. You won't listen to what you know better. You won't listen to what preachers done told you. You hurt the church. Can I say this tonight? If you're not careful, not only will you hurt your family, your friends, and even your foes. If you're not careful, you'll hurt even people that you don't think even like you. They might not like you, but they're still watching you.
Right. Yeah.
I done knew. I done told Brother Chris. We spent, what did we see each other? Two or three times while we's gone. And I told him we was out in those. Probably the day I got to eat up a jellyfish, probably. Talking about the Lord. I told him, I said, Brother Chris, all I can tell you to do is you better pray for us when we go home. I said, the Lord's been dealing with my heart about a message. I ain't going to like it. My words was, it's a humdinger. Because I sat in that room one night. I stayed up real late, real, real late, working on this message. I finished it up last night. I sat up real late and all I could see was faces. And families. And I thought, unto God, I don't ever want to be the reason that they get hurt at our church. Yeah. Did you know, you say, well, it's inevitable. I'm going to hurt somebody. No, it's not inevitable. Did you know, I'm talking about pleasing everybody. It's not what I'm talking about. Did you know the Bible said that there is a possibility to even make your enemies be at peace with you? Did you know if you just haul off and be a Christian, it's going to be hard for people to get hurt because of you?
Amen.
You know what a Christian does? You say, well, I'll mess up. I know. But if you're a Christian about it, you can fix what you messed up.
Yeah, that's right.
I'll let people down. I know you will and I will. But if we'll be a Christian about matters, we can fix even our wrongs and make even our enemies be at peace with us. Being a Christian goes a long ways when it comes to being a help to the church. Let me ask something. Is there anybody here tonight that would like to stand before God being both charged, convicted, and proven guilty of hurting the very bride of the Lord Jesus Christ? Did you know this church means a whole lot to Him?
Yeah.
It may not mean much to you. I hope it does, but it might not. It may not mean a whole lot to this community. It may not mean a whole lot to the other churches in the area. It may not mean a whole lot to anybody on planet Earth. But I can tell you, according to the Word of God, this is a very precious place to the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
We are His bride, people. The church is the apple of the Son of God's eye. And my friend, not only are we His bride, but we have been baptized into the body of Christ. Can I say, my friend, your actions will always speak louder than words.
Amen.
You know what I found along the way? People that run their mouth the most about stuff they love are the ones that usually do something to tear that what they've said the whole time down. Oh, it's so quiet tonight. Welcome home, Pastor. Good to see y'all. But I come with a word. I can't tell. I'm a mailman. I can't help what God gives me. I've read this text a million times like you have, and God never showed it to me other than right now, I guess, because that's what we need right now is how we can hurt the church. And my friend, listen to me. Our actions speak louder than words. Most of the time, people that rant and rave on how great the church is, here's what I found over 8 years. Those are the ones that leave.
Yeah.
You know what I want to do? I want my life to say I love this church more than my lips. Ain't nothing wrong with standing up and saying, I thank God for my church. But sir, that means nothing when you forsake it. Amen, Brother Josh. Good preaching. I'll amen myself at my friend because it's right. I love this church. Then be faithful to this church. I love my brother. Then be a good brother. I love my sister. Then be. You don't have to go around telling me you love me all the time. Won't you live your life in a way that proves it? Words are very shallow when your actions follow up some other word. Most of the men that's claimed to be in my corners are the ones that cause me trouble. Amen. I ain't mad about it. I'm telling you the facts. Most of the people that's loved this church so much is the one that's caused it trouble. No, we need families that don't have to get up and say something all the time. They just do it.
Yes.
And they don't have to have a pat on the back. I mean, I know this don't mean nothing probably to nobody in this church. But when I pulled on the property yesterday and the grass was cut, I said, Ray Reynolds, thank you God for Ray Reynolds. It helps me. And if it don't help nobody, it helps this preacher to know I ain't had to thank for 2 or 3 years. I ain't had to ask. I ain't had to send out a message. I ain't had to hire somebody. I ain't had to beg. The man works like a dog, but he comes over here on his 5 or 10 minute spare time and cuts the grass for the glory of God. That helps this place. That helps this preacher. It's so good to pull in and see that grass cut. And nobody ever pays any attention to it, Brother Ray. 2 people do. Me, which is not very important. And the Lord. Every drop of sweat that runs off the tip of his nose, God is paying attention. Can I get a witness? You ladies that pick up your pew, ain't nobody else cares. Ain't nobody else notices. Ain't nobody else gives a rip. But I'm going to tell you, it's 2 people that do. This preacher notices, and even when I don't, God sees it all. You can be a help to the church. And it ought to be your determination to help the church and not to hurt the church. I don't want to hurt the church. I don't want to hurt the people of the church. Even when people hurt me, I don't want to retaliate and hurt them back. Because I've done that. And some of the worst scars that I have on my life, my spots and blemishes on my testimony, my ministry, has came from retaliation. And it still hurts me that I hurt them. Just a couple weeks ago, it was when Brother Jonathan Hughes was here. Whenever that was. Only thing opened real late was Applebee's. So me and him and my family and Brother Chris, I think, and his family was the only ones that went. We went to Applebee's. We was outside in the parking lot talking about different things and things that had been going on and just different situations. And somehow or another it got brought up about the dispute, the disagreement, the downfall, whatever you want to call it, the division. That occurred many years ago between me and Brother Chris. And I'm telling you, I can't even talk about it because it hurts me so bad. It flared up. Before I knew it, we was laughing, cutting and joking. Before I knew it, I was crying like a baby in the parking lot. Yeah. And they was giggling at me. And Amy said, what in the world's wrong with you? You're most more emotional than me, but I can't help it when I go back to that day because thank God it didn't ruin it, but it could have ruined everything.
Yeah.
And I heard it. And he said, preach, you don't have to cry. I said, but you don't understand. It hurts me to know that I hurt you. You said, well, he hurt you. It don't matter. I shouldn't hurt him back. Hello? And it still hurts me to thank God it's over and done with. And God's crying. I mean, listen, I know it don't mean, and I wanted to post something about this, but I just don't think I'm crazy. You know how big a miracle it was for me, him, and my daddy to go out on a fishing boat together? That was a miracle from the Lord.
Yes.
And I know there's some of you think, well, bless God, I wish I had the money. We charge everything. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
We ain't got no money. We're so broke we can't pay attention. But God's good enough to us, so let's go down the road for a couple days. And I thought about it the whole time. I told me that old brother Chris, he turned into a better man, a was before. He hooked in that big old redfish and that drag went to screaming. Me and Dad was, come on, girlie, get it. Come on, big girl. And my dad acted like he was Bill Banks. He's the luckiest fellow ever lived. But I reflected back on that. And I thought, God, thank you.
Yes. Amen.
For undoing that hurt. Amen. I don't know how far I get in this. It don't really matter. But I'm just telling you, I don't want to hurt you people. And I don't want y'all to hurt one another. I want us to be... Listen, did you know over there where it talks about gifts? Brother Tony, I know you know this. Did you know when it starts talking about the gifts to the church, one of them is the gift of helps?
Yeah.
Did you know it's a gift to be a help?
Amen. Come on.
You are gifting the church when you do the opposite of hurt it and help it. You are being a gift to the church. That's what I want to be.
Yes.
I want to be a help.
Yes, sir.
Can I say this? Our actions speak louder than words. When people miss church, listen, somebody's going to step on you. I can't help it. It's Bible. When you miss church and you do not have biblical authority or reason to do so, you have hurt the church.
Right.
Now you can amen that or owe me that. It makes no difference. It's the truth. When church members, Brother Tony, over the years, you ever had any church members, this is what I call it, you ever had any church members go on strike?
Come on.
Oh, you're staying home, but it ain't just staying home, you're protesting something.
Yeah.
You know what you're doing while you're making your ego feel better? You're hurting your church family.
Right.
You're hurting the church. You've removed a board, a piece of lathing from the ship. You've hurt your church. And people fail to keep commitments they've made. They hurt the church. I don't care what it is. If you commit to being here on work day, and I mean, let's say, I know things happen, but if you just go against your commitment, man, you've hurt somebody. When you say, yeah, preacher, sign me up. I'm gonna give $50 towards that, and you don't. You've hurt the church. Thank you, preacher. Somebody needs to say amen because it's right. You've hurt the church when you fail to keep your commitments, whether it be work day or VBS. Listen, we have people commit to things in VBS and abandon it. You know what you'll do? You'll hurt your church.
Amen.
You'll hurt the church when you just go AWOL. I'm talking about when things come up and things change. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when you just don't want to.
Come on.
Amen. I mean, well, I just don't feel like it, so I'm just not going to keep my commitment. You've hurt your church.
Amen.
What about this? When people willingly choose to live their lives in sin, and they know it, and God knows it, and we know it. Listen to me. You have hurt your church.
Amen.
When you come in here, and we're glad you're here, but you're not in fellowship with God, you're hurting your church. You're hurting the people that sit in the pew beside you, that pray for you and tell you they love you, and they do love you, and they do pray for you. But you're killing them worse. You're killing God. You're hurt. You're bringing hurt when you won't do right and get right with God and get over your sin. Can I say these are selfish and sinful decisions, and they bring great consequence? Please don't hurt the church. I know I've got a lengthy introduction. But can I say this? Everybody is so quick to jump on the church hurt train.
Yeah.
This is all stuff the Lord's given me. So I'm giving it to you. But let me ask you, when is the last time you took inventory of your life to see if you were hurting the church instead of focusing on how the church has hurt you? I hear it, and you hear it, and all preachers hear it, and all Christians hear it. You invite five people to church, and 2.5 of them, that's 50% of five. 2.5 of them is going to say these two words, I've been church hurt. If you were to inventory the crowd here tonight, somebody in the building would bring up those two words, I've been church hurt. We put a lot of emphasis on that. I know it's real, and I know it hurts, and I know it's bad. But when's the last time we flipped the role and quit focusing on all the start looking and taking inventory on all the times we've hurt the church. I know the church has hurt you and the church has hurt me, but look at here, it's because it's made up of imperfect people, but we're serving a perfect God. Quit focusing on how the church has hurt you and realize that you're not very careful, you will hurt your church. It's insignificant to you, but it's hurt somebody. You overlooked it, but somebody else can't. No, it's called having a bigger perspective than self. Yeah. Yeah. It ain't a big deal to me. It's just one service. What about your brother?
Right. Yeah. Come on.
Amen, Brother Josh. It's good preaching. It's just two nights of revival, Isaiah, the other three. But what about your church? Just because it wasn't a big deal to you don't mean that it won't be a big deal to them. I'm not talking about people pleasing. I'm talking about God pleasing. And when you don't please God, you are letting down the church. And when you're not helping the church, you're hurting the church. I've only got 3 points, but I plan on building on this, if the Lord will let me. I'll try to get them out to you tonight. If I can't, oh well. We'll come back to it. But I'm going to preach tonight on how to hurt your church. First of all, if you'd write notes, you can begin taking them down here on the points. First of all, tonight, you are hurting your church when you, number one, fail in your going. And I'll mention this, but I'm going to break it down a little tonight. We might not get past point one because the Lord's really loading my wagon right here. You are hurting your church when you fail in your going. Can I say by missing church, ultimately what you're saying is that you're completely fine with a few things. Number one, by missing church, you're hurting your church. When you fail and you're going, you're saying you're completely fine, number one, with forsaking the assembly.
Right.
When you just don't come to church, you have spoken.
Yeah.
I might as well. I mean, look, when you just lay out of church, you might as well, and I don't know if these are on, you might have to unmute it or something back there, I don't know. But here's you might as well do this. I don't feel like getting out of bed today. Here's what you might as well do. The next service come back, you might as well get a microphone and say, church family, I have a testimony on my heart. I just want to let you know it was not very important to me to forsake the assembly. Love you. I mean, really. I know it sounds goofy, and maybe it is goofy, but it's what you're doing. Because when you weren't here just because you didn't want to be here, I'm not talking about having the flu. I'm not talking about you could not get off work. I'm not talking about legitimate reasons. I'm talking about your fingers are in a ruffled up mess, or somebody said something, or you just don't feel like it. You might as well get a microphone and say, Lord, I got a testimony. I just want to tell you that the blood don't mean a whole lot to me today. Lord, I just want to tell you that blood and water that come on your side, it's important almost every other Sunday but this Sunday.
Yeah.
But it's just one Sunday. But it's His Sunday.
That's right. Yes. Amen.
Yes, sir.
You might as well amen me. Because you know I'm telling you right. It's just I'm always there. What's the big deal about laying out once? Because it ain't your day to lay out. It's His day. I need a little help tonight. It's His day. It's the Lord's day. It ain't your day and it ain't my day. And bless God, we ought not make it lake day. We ought not make it motorcycle day. We ought not make it cookout day. We ought not make it shopping trip day. We ought not make it, I'm going to preach an amen myself. We ought not make it a family reunion day. We ought not make it, I just don't want to get out of bed day. It's the Lord's day. You ought to be faithful to be at your local church on the Sunday, every Sunday of the week. The Lord's day. I'm not backing up. So if you don't like that, you can get you a drink of water to try to choke it on down. Because it's Bible. It's the Lord's day.
Amen.
You fail your church, you hurt your church when you fail in your going. And we try, look here, when you start reasoning as to why it's okay, can I tell you something? Red flag, it's not okay. Y'all ever sit and debate with yourself about doing something that you know is wrong, but you try to talk yourself into making it right?
Yes, sir.
That's what you're doing when you sit there. Well, you know, I mean, I probably give more money than anybody. I ain't really got it this week. Oh, good preaching, Brother Josh. I mean, I'm telling you, I'm so big in my heart, it's from the Lord. I'll amen my own preaching. I come in determined for 9 hours down the road. I was determined in my heart. I knew what I would preach tonight because it's what God gave me to preach on. And you say, I don't believe that. He is preaching that because of what I've done. No, I'll stand before God and tell you it's what He gave me. I don't have to try to explain myself to you. It's what God put in my heart. And honey, if the boot fits, wear the sucker. I can't help that we get hit with these things. It's Bible. That's why it's so offensive. You'll hurt your church when you fail and you're going. Number one, by Miss Church, what you're saying is you're completely fine with forsaking the assembly. We all know this, but Hebrews 10:24-25, what's it say? And let us, you know the first part before it says, not forsaking. Y'all need to flip there. You're more than welcome to. Hebrews 10:24 said, let us consider one another.
Yeah.
You know, the first step on Saturday night to being at church on Sunday is considering your church family.
Oh, yes. Amen.
You know, Saturday night really is Sunday morning decision.
Right. Amen.
I've got text on Thursday. Thursday to Friday morning is one day. Friday morning to Saturday morning is 2 days. And Saturday morning to Sunday morning is 3 days. 3 solid days in advance. I'm not feeling good. I won't be there. I'm thinking, what kind of physician do you serve?
Right.
I mean, we're not even going to give him a chance over the weekend. Right. Amen, Brother Josh. That's good preaching. I've got it on Thursday morning. I've got a bad headache. Preacher probably won't be there. God makes my fingers, my joints lock up because He knows what I want to say. Usually, if you just typically get a praying, I'm just going to let the cat out of the bag. That probably means I disagree with you 100%.
Yeah.
But I'm being nice. Now, I'm not going to say in all situations, but most. If all you get from me is praying, you better know I've got something else on my mind. What kind of faith do you have? You've already made a 3 day prior decision that you're too sick to go to church on Sunday, and it's Thursday.
Amen.
Amen, Brother Josh. That's good preaching. You know what you're saying? You're fine with forsaking the assembly.
Amen.
Consider us, consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. We're living in those days, ain't we?
Yeah.
But exhorting one another. You know what your job is when you're here?
Oh, yes.
To love and provoke unto good works and to exhort one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. Can I tell you, there's nothing like a brother coming up and hugging me or shaking my hand and saying, preacher, I love you. It's good to see you. You know what you've done? You've provoked me to good works. Amen. All of a sudden, my bad day is starting to vanish a little more.
Yeah.
When I got up and say this, and when I walked down memory lane, all I could say is, bless His name. I mean, that provokes me to good works. That exhorts me. That encourages me. Because you know what my spirit says? Every lane I've walked down in memory lane says that same thing. Bless His name. You're okay with forsaking the assembly. My missing church, ultimately, what you're saying is you're completely fine. Number one, we said with forsaking the assembly. But number two, by missing church, what you're saying is you're completely fine with deforming the anatomy of the church. I'm not going to read it for sake of time, but in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, you know what you find? The body. Brother Tony's the only one that's ever read that in his Bible. But I promise I'm not lying. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, it talks about the anatomy of the church, the makeup of the church, and it goes down into the body. Would the finger say to the eye? And I'm probably misquoting, but would the toe say to the ear? I mean, look, my finger may not seem as important as my arm, but my arm will notice if something happens to my finger.
Yeah.
You say, I'm just a pinky nail on the church. Rip that sucker off and tell me how important it is.
Amen.
I'm not important. I mean, I don't have a Sunday school class. I don't sing in the choir. I don't even sing specials. I mean, all I do is sit there and give a little bit and offer and say amen and now and then shake hands. I ain't nothing. All I am is a little toenail to the body. Stick it under the car outside. Let somebody run over it, square the wheels, and jerk it and rip the toenail off and tell me how invaluable it is.
Amen.
Granted, I would rather lose a toenail as a foot.
Yeah.
But they're both important.
Amen.
Are y'all with me?
Yes, sir.
And when you go to trying to see who's the arm and who's the finger, that's when you mess up, because look here, God don't see an arm and a finger, He sees a body. And when one little joint is out of place, it hurts the body. Did you know that a little muscle back here? Oh, no, let's just go get down where everybody lives. Sciatic nerve. It's probably not very big. I don't know much about it. It's probably, if you were to go to dissecting the nerves of the body, it's probably not as important as some of those in your spine or in your neck or in your head or in your legs maybe. But I'm telling you something. I slept on the bunk bed all week. First and last time that's ever happened to me on vacation. You all think I've been put in a deposit for next year and I got the king suite, bless God. I don't care who likes it. That's what I got. I've been put it in a year in advance because I ain't sleeping on no bunk bed yet. 230 pounds don't belong on rails, 50 of them going sideways on the metal frame. The thing was welded, and I had to wear my shoes climb up down the ladder, because when you put 230 pounds on little rails at the ground, it hurts. So I had to get in the bed with my shoes, take my shoes off, put them at the end of the bed, pray God didn't kick them off in the middle of the night, because if I did, I'd have to jump off the top bunk. I couldn't walk the ladder. Hurt. And it ain't never happening to me again. You know what I found out on this week's journey? That little sciatic nerve, 230 pounds, sciatic nerve plus 230 pounds equals hurt. I turn real quick or get out of that ocean, and you know, out in the ocean, you feel like you're in the Olympic or something. I do. I start stretching because I can't do it without something helping me get my leg in. You know what I mean? So my legs are walking lighter in the water, so I start, I stretch and I did. Oh! 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 It's a shot! Shot! You know, sciatic nerve's hurt. It's not as important, maybe, as a neurological nerve, something going on with the brain. I'll tell you something. When it's out of place or it's damaged or something, it still hurts this body.
Right.
Everybody with me?
Amen.
And I wasn't sitting there calculating, saying, oh, this is great because it's an insignificant nerve compared to all the other nerves. Body, just hush. Everything's fine. No, my body was saying, this hurts.
Yeah.
You know what you're doing when you don't come to church?
Oh, yeah.
I'm so insignificant, not to the body.
Right.
It might be to yourself, but you ain't to God, who's the head of the body. I miss the church. You're okay with forsaking the assembly. You're okay with the form and the anatomy. But thirdly, I want to say this. By missing church, you're saying you're okay with feeding the wrong appetite. Amen, Brother Josh. Good to have you back. Feeding the wrong appetite. Did you know there's two of you?
Right. Yeah. Yes, sir.
There's saved you and not saved you.
Come on.
There's flesh man you and spirit man you. There's righteous man you and unrighteous you, and we're still battling this old flesh on this side of eternity. And I don't know about y'all, but my flesh still likes to eat.
Come on now.
Isn't it amazing that we'll make time for our families to do things that the old flesh man likes? But it's so hard to find time for our family to enjoy what that spirit man likes. Romans 10:17 says, the faith comes by hearing, hearing by Which appetite you feed? When you miss church, what you're saying is, I'm okay with feeding the wrong appetite today. I'm okay with my flesh getting stronger and my spirit getting weaker. You deform the anatomy. You put the body out of whack. You put it out of joint. You forsake the assembly. But my friend, you feed the wrong appetite. Hebrews 11:6 said, without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them diligently seek Him. Romans 8:5 said, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they are after spirit the things of the spirit. Galatians 5:16, 17 said, this I say then, walk in the spirit. Why? You shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit. How do you know we're in a war? The Bible. And the spirit wars against the flesh. And these are, look here we go. These are contrary, the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would.
Yeah, good.
I hate to be so honest, but when rut rolls around in November, and the weather's not been so good through the week, and the deer's not been moving, and Sunday morning's forecast is calling for -10, no wind, frost that thick on the ground, I know them deer's going to be up moving or they're going to freeze to death. Pastor or no pastor, preacher or no preachers, Christian or no, look here, you know what my flesh says? You're there every Sunday.
Yeah.
If you have an ordinary job, you get vacation days. Oh, I'm just telling you. What's wrong, preacher? You're faithful all the time. If this is what you do, this is how you survive. Surely God, you can throw a vacation day in 5 or 6 times a year. Plus you're a week or two. I know y'all don't think like that, but I do. You know what I have to realize? That's the wrong appetite. Then my spirit man says, yeah, go ahead. And then tree stand steps are going to be frozen and you're going to fall about 30 foot and paralyze yourself. And then the flesh man says, but you know good and well that big deer's coming through. God says, you know good and well I can get him up if it's 95 degrees and the wind's blowing 32, don't you? Y'all with me?
Man.
I got to make a conscious decision. Which appetite am I going to feed?
Yeah.
Just one service. It don't matter when by you missing that one service when it hurts the church.
Right.
And really, in essence, Brother Tony, if we want to get in that scripture by hurting the church, you can't hurt the church without affecting the head of the church.
Right.
So don't think I'm trying to take away from hurting Christ and putting emphasis on the church over Christ. He is the head of the church.
Amen.
You're hurting both. And if the church didn't even exist, how would you want to do your Savior that way? I'm just on point number one. I got 3 of them working on 4. And I'm out of time just about it. But I want to say this. Philippians 3:3 said, we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. You want to know why people forsake the assembly so bad? They got too much confidence in their flesh. I can handle it. According to Philippians chapter 3, verse 3, you can't.
Right.
I mean, I'll be all right with this. I mean, I got it. It ain't going to get a hold on me. Brother Tony, I wonder how many hundreds upon thousands of people are out of church today because the 1 or 2 times wasn't going to get a hold on them. But it did.
Hey.
So good to have you back, Brother Josh. Thank y'all. Good preaching. Appreciate it. But it's right. Right here's the big one. Point number 1 is all I'm going to get out tonight. By missing church, not only are you saying you're completely fine with feeding the wrong appetite and deforming the anatomy and forsaking the assembly, but right here's the big one. By missing church, what you're saying is you're completely fine with forbidding the Almighty. Because if I read my Bible right in Matthew 18:20, it says this. For where 2 or 3 are gathered together in my name, this is what got me. There I am. You okay with that? By missing church, you know he's here. We've had some hard services. We've had some odd services. I guess maybe we're the only people on the planet that's ever had a weird church service, but we have. But can I say this? Even on the oddest and the weirdest and the coldest and the deadest church services we've ever had here, I can promise you they've been at least two. Let's walk in here looking for him. You know what the promise was? Even if we couldn't see it, feel it, know it, he was here.
Yeah.
I'm convicted knowing that there are people, knowing there are times in my life where I have almost made the call to forbid being in the presence of the Almighty. How are you going to hurt your church? By failing in your going. Are you okay with that? Forbidding the Almighty? Because he made us a promise. This is not preacher talk. This ain't a sales pitch. I'm not a salesman. I'm not trying to sell you something or convince you of something. It's Bible.
Right.
That if there's just two of us here that are together, gathered together in his name, the promise is this: there I will be, there I am in the midst of them. And you are okay. What you're saying is you're okay with forbidding the Almighty. I hope I can get this out in 10 minutes. Something I've never seen, Brother Tony. But I seen this week. And I want to give you some examples. Did you know that God, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, this is going to throw you off for a loop, but I can prove it. Go follow me. Study me. When you go home, I encourage you to. Brother Seth, this is amazing to me. Did you know God, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, in his 3.5 years earthly ministry? I've never seen it. I've been preaching over 10 years, never seen it. Did you know he gave more invitations for people to leave than he did to stay? I can prove it to you. Every time he'd heal somebody, he'd tell them to go.
Yeah.
You know what's sad? Most of the time, they did. He didn't beg. I've been doing it wrong. He didn't beg nobody to stay around. As soon as he'd save them, heal them, make blind eyes see, deaf ears hear, lame men walk, dumb men speak, dead men live. He'd say, all right, go to your own. They'd give him a thumbs up. But then I started reading. He'd done the same thing with 10 lepers. But it clicked. With one. He said, all right, y'all, you had no family, you had no friends, you've been outcast, you're fixing to die, you had incurable disease, but I'm going to heal you. He said, now go. Well, they started high-fiving and holding hands. Off they went. One of them started, and all of a sudden something started. He said, whoa, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Why are we going?
Yeah.
You know why I think Jesus did that? Just to see how much of him they really did want. You know what a lot of most people wanted? They wanted what he could do for them.
Right.
They didn't want him.
That's right.
And so he did not give them an invitation to stay.
Good.
Because of an obligation, probably most of them would have.
Right.
He just made your dead life live again, or your blind eyes see, or your deaf ears hear, or your dumb tongue to talk, or your lame legs to walk, and said, now stay with me. You know what most would have done? Out of pure obligation.
Right.
But he told them all. After he'd do something, he'd say, go your way. And almost all of them went their way. You know what they done? This is what God showed me. They fail in their going.
Yeah.
But that one turned around and said, hold up a minute.
Yeah.
And when he came back, and I've got all the verses, I'll try to read them to you. Let me preach it first. And then I'll try to give you my verses from the text. When he came back, you know what Jesus said? Were there not nine? Well, the nine, he did not say, well, thank you for coming back. You didn't have to. He was confused as to why he was the only one that did.
Right. Yeah.
But he told them to go. Why? To reveal if they wanted to stay or go.
That's good.
You know what I found out? Most people want to come until they get what they need.
Right.
And then they want to go.
Yeah.
But I don't want to be one of those. I want to be like that one leper that turned around. And the Bible said he glorified God. Why are we here, brethren? We meant to worship. What are we worshiping on behalf of? Look what God has done. He saved me. He gave me life. He gave me eyes to see. He gave me ears to hear. He gave me legs to walk. He gave me hands to serve. I mean, we ought to live at his feet glorifying God. Where are the rest of them at?
Yeah.
I don't know. But out of those nine, only one was made whole.
Yeah.
Who was that? It's the one that came back that did not fail in his going. So many people. And the Lord showed me this. People come in, Brother Tony, and I really think they got saved. And then they vanish. And I've always said this, Sister Annette, you've heard me 7,674,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000, They got their fix.
Let on down the road, sometime, Brother Tony, I'd sit and reason with myself, and I'd say, well, they probably didn't get it. But according to Scripture, they probably did.
Right.
They just accepted the first invitation from God. It wasn't to stay. It was to go. You remember the rich young ruler? Oh, Lord, I need help. I need saved right now. What do I need to do?
Yeah.
What was the first word? From Jesus to him.
No.
Sell all that you have in return. He wasn't about to do that. You want to know why? God gave him the invitation to reveal himself to himself.
Yeah.
He failed. And he's going, please listen to me. You're hurting the church. When you're out there leaping around, cleanse. You used to be a leper, now you're clean. And that one leper couldn't understand why they didn't have the same gratitude he did. He said, Lord, I don't know. They just went on down to high priest, you know, religious. Most people get saved, that's what they do. They live their life in being religious. But I'm not here tonight because out of religion. I'm here because I want a relationship. I do not want to forbid the Almighty. I don't want to bail out on Him after all that He's done for me. Let me give you these verses quickly, just for example's sake. Matthew 8:13, Jesus said unto the centurion, first words, go thy way. Thou hast believed, so go thy way. And his servant was healed, same self hour. Matthew 9:6, but that you may know the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Then saith he to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go into the house. Guess what? He done it. Can I say Matthew 11:4, Jesus answered and said unto them, go, up show John again the things which you do see and hear. They did it. Rich young ruler, Mark 10:21. Jesus beholding him, loved him, said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatever thou hast, give to the poor, thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross and follow me. But he never came back. In Luke chapter number 17 is those lepers, verse number 11 through 19. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers which stood afar off, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. They prayed the prayer of salvation, if you will. At verse 14, and when he saw them, he said unto them, go, show yourself to the priest. Came to pass as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Verse 17, Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise. Even then he said, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go through and read all the miracles he done and see what Jesus invited them to do first. He invited them to leave more than he ever invited them to stay. Why is that? Because he knew what most people was going to do anyways. I wonder tonight, and I'm closing. I wonder tonight if God offered us the invitation. You can get out now. I wonder how many of us would take it. You failed and you're going. I would say, most of you would say, oh, not me, but your church attendance says otherwise. Well, it's only been a few times. That's all they needed. Amen, Brother Josh. Glad to have you back. It's good preaching. We appreciate it. I know it's heavy and it's hard. But it's how you hurt your church.
Yeah.
By hurting your church, you hurt Christ. And those are two things I don't want to hurt. I don't want to forsake the assembly. I don't want to fail in my going. I don't want to forsake the assembly. I don't want to deform the anatomy. I don't want to feed the wrong appetite. And I sure don't want to forbid the Almighty in my going. Let me ask you something tonight. Seems like everybody he would heal. Every time he'd save somebody, bring somebody back from the dead, he'd immediately invite them to go away, and they almost all accepted.